Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friend, is Tell Del Tuesday, and we have a guest with us out of Dallas named Gino Henry. Gino's been around as a member for a while, and it's always been a great guest whenever we've had him on. Gino is an example of someone that started out at the bottom and has worked his way up, and so his story is relevant to most people out there, not just someone who came here, had a lot of money, and bought a bunch of real estate and retired. He's working his way through the process of building up his portfolio and building up his wealth. So with all that said, let's welcome Gino. Gino, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dale. Thank you for having me.
So Gino, let's start out with, for people that have never heard you before, your first visit here, what brought you to real estate? I mean, you know, in other words, not just us, but in the beginning, there's a reason why you started looking for real estate, looking into real estate, wanted something to do with it. Share that with us. What was your motivation to decide to look into real estate?
I think the main thing with me, Dale, was years ago I started out as a custodian for Dallas Independent School District, and I just wanted something different in life. So just sitting at home back then, and you would see these, you know, commercials come on late at night with Carlton Sheets and all those guys, and some of those guys would come to Dallas, and I would go and sit in and listen to the seminars, and I got really interested in real estate. But as I sat through some of those, I realized that I couldn't really get a grasp of what was going on, because you just go and sit in, they'll say this big hope and dream, and then they're gone. But I was really wanting to be into real estate. I just did not know how at the time.
So how old were you back then, do you know?
Oh, God. That was back in, probably in my late 20s, early 30s.
Well, so you're still young. The reason I ask is because as I hear your story, and I know you're not a janitor anymore, a custodian, which is a more professional term for it, but I just, you know, you have to think, if you've not been a custodian, you think from the outside in, you go, who are the people we take most granted for in life? In other words, kids. You're the guy cleaning the school. You know, like, what are you ever going to be? And I don't mean that meanly. I'm just saying that that's the kind of position that you're put in psychologically if you're the custodian of a school, right? It's not like you what you are now, which is an engineer, basically. But the bottom line, that was a place that mentally, did you find it at all more difficult because that's what you were doing to think you could never get out of that position? Or did it not mean anything to you? It was just a job that you did because it was the first one you fell into or something?
No, actually, it did. It gave you a sense of I felt trapped. I felt like I couldn't go anywhere in life. I tried to, you know, apply for other positions. But one thing about it, when you're a custodian, you're down like that, it's a funny thing. People view you, hey, you know, he's just a custodian. There's nothing there. There's no education there or whatever, which In a sense, that's really not the case. You know, a lot of these people, you know, have other things that they can do, but they view you as that. And so I just got locked into that, and I felt like I couldn't get out of it. So I was like, you know, there's got to be something else, got to be something better that I can do. And that's when I really, really started wanting to change my life and, you know, get into real estate.
So you were listening to these big, long infomercials, and Carlton Sheets was one of them. There's many of them. You started going to those, but you got stuck mentally. How now? Go through that again for people that might be at that same point, and let's talk about how do you get out of that point of being stuck.
Okay. So, for instance, I think there were several that came to Dallas. Carlton Sheets. I think there was one called The Real Alliance. Just tons of them I went to. I think I went to Robert Kiyosaki's ones. And so you sit in there, and you go in there, and they'll show you all these fancy houses and the trips and stuff. Hey, you could be doing this. You could be doing that. Real estate, we can show you how to do it. And so you'll go all day. I think I spent like a whole weekend in one of them. And at the end, Dale, you wouldn't believe it. So at the end, that's when they throw the prices out. They threw the prices out there, and everybody in the class, they just kind of looked at each other. It's kind of like the air went out of a balloon. It was really funny. And we sat there, and everybody just kind of walked out and left. And everybody had that same sense of like, dang, you know, we want that lifestyle, but these people are just kind of, you know, selling us a hope and a dream and a prayer, and it's not happening. And so I was stuck right there. I did not know where to go, who to turn to, or what, but I wanted to do it, didn't know how. And that's what made me have that sense of feeling where I was just dead in the water because I'm a custodian, and I don't know how to get out of this. You know, what do I do? That's where I was.
So what was the next step? What did you talk yourself into doing next to get the breakthrough that?
What I did, I actually started reading a lot of books. The first book I read was Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And when I started reading that, I started totally thinking different about money because, I didn't have a lot of money back then. Credit wasn't all that great. But when I started reading that book, and I even read Donald Trump's book, The Art of the Game, Art of the Deal, and it just made my mind think differently. Then I just started to just put back money, save, and I was in a lot of debt, didn't have the best of credit, but I knew I wanted to change. So it became on the inside of me. I was like, whatever I need to do, whatever it takes to get there, I'm going to do it. And that's what changed me and started pushing me in that direction.
Okay. So to get to lifestyles, how did that happen?
Okay, that's very interesting. I have a friend. He found out about lifestyles. And so, you know, like I said back then, I was kind of, you know, not unbelieving. He was like, man, Just come with me one night. Just come with me. And I was like, man, this is going to be another one of those deals. I was like, okay. So I think it was a case study. And we went to a case study, and I listened. And I was like, man, you know, this sounds great. This is what I want. But I was still a little leery about it because I had been through so many. You know what I mean? Like the Carlton mm-hmm. Sheets and all of them. And I was like, this is just another deal. So I left, didn't do anything with it, came back a couple times, I think a couple months later, and I joined as the FFP member so I could go to the 2-day. And when I went to the 2-day, I started liking it more. And when I was in the 2-day, I realized, I was like, man, I really want to do this, but I don't have the money. I'm in debt. Don't have the credit. I can't do this. And I'm stuck again. that's where I was.
So I want everybody to focus on this. You found us. You came to a case study. It was free. You went to that. That's very telling. Pretty believable of, you know, all the different ways to get information to actually see real people telling their stories. But at that time, you walked away, is what you said. And then you said you came back later and joined the FFP. I've got that down that you joined a membership here in 2013. So how long was it between the case study and when you finally came back and joined?
The thing about it back then is, I think the first thing, Dale, is I didn't believe I could do it. I had to get past that. You know what I mean? Because I came to the case study, and I saw people up there. They, one guy bought a single family property, and it blew me away when I saw it. And I was like, first thing I was sitting there thinking, I was like, how can I do this? How can I do it? You know what I mean? I was like, I can't do it because of the situation I'm in. I was in debt, and I just walked away for a while because I didn't feel like I could do it. But then I would always come back, listen to more people, then go away, and then come back. And then finally, after a few years of this thing going back and forth, I managed to put together something and move forward. Actually, after listening to David Fisher, he's the one that put me on the map.
You know, it's funny, Gino, because I remember you forever coming to meetings, and you're always right there. Just wherever anybody was, like, if E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. You were like, wherever the conversation was at, you were right at the edge of the conversation, sticking your head in there, listening intently, asking questions, good questions, getting to know people. I always thought when I saw you that you were probably out there making things happen, and because you were so involved. And you did that for so long that I actually got to know who you are. But you really took a long time to spread your wings. So what was it that finally broke through all of that? I mean, you're looking, you're wanting, you're desiring, you're asking questions, you're showing up, right? You're getting to know people. There's not much more you can do and not end up getting it done. What finally broke it that made it so you could do it?
What happened, I came to a case study. Now, David Fisher, I went to a case study, and then we went to the two-day. So David gets up there, and he was like, hey, you know, if you don't have any money to do this, get a job. You know what I mean? And so it's like the light went off right there. It's like I'm sitting there. I was like, okay, I have a job. I'm in this much debt. Credit's not that great. And I was like, wait a minute. I'll get a second job. That's what I'll do. So I moved from the custodial. I didn't bring this up, but I moved from custodial, and I eventually got into HVAC. And that was what was called a plant operator.
HVAC is air conditioning. HVAC is air conditioning and heating. So you did that for the school district or someplace else?
Yes. Yes. So I was a plant operator for Dallas ISD at the administration building of all places. And then when that light went off, I was like, well, you know what? I'll get a second job as another plant operator. And so I worked at UT Southwestern Medical Center. So I would work for Dallas ISD. I would come in from 6:30 in the morning to 3:30, sit up here a couple hours, and go to work over there at 6 p.m. at night, work overnight to 6 p.m. in the morning, was back here and punched in back over at Dallas ISD at 6:30 for another 8 hours. Did that.
Where did you sleep? Where did you sleep?
I didn't. I mean, I tried to sleep in between the cracks, but I just kind of kept myself, working out and stuff like that. And I just had to do it. This is just something I just had to do. It was the only way I could get out. It was the only way. And so that's what I did.
You know, that's the best work story I've ever heard. That's worse than mine, working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. You're working 24 hours a day. It's unbelievable.
I've got that. That's why I always say, I've got a motto, whatever it takes. So, I was working those two jobs. I was like, hey, if that's not enough, I'll try a third. I don't care. I got to figure it out. And that's what got me going.
So did that double your income, working two jobs?
It pretty much did. So it let me, the first check was, it covered all the bills and everything. The second check let me, start saving money and getting out of debt. And so in that 2 years, I managed to get out of debt and increase my credit scores. And that's what got me to the first property. That's what did it.
So were you a member during that time, or did you come back and join after that time? I'm trying to get this timeline down here.
So I was a member. I was an FFP member. And I managed, I think Dale, you ran a special back when you got married. I remember when you got married, you had this special, and it allowed me to go from an FFP membership to a challenge member. And it took me a minute to pay for it, but I got it. And so I remember doing that. I was so happy that I had made it just that far. That really set me off right there.
That lets you start hanging out with the people that are actually doing it and with the mentors and going places mm-hmm. with them and hanging out. How long did it take you from that upgrade to be able to go and buy your first house?
Okay, so I talked to David again. He was like, well, what you ought to do is just, you don't have a lot of money. Find a duplex, triplex, fourplex. Live in one unit and rent out the other. So I found one, Michonne Childers. She was with Lifestyles at the time. She was a realtor for Lifestyles. She found this property in Arlington, Texas. It was a duplex. And basically, just to make a long story short, I put in for it. It fell through. Somebody else was going to get it. She called me back a day or two later. Hey, it didn't go through. Do you still want it? Yeah. Came up again. Somebody else tried to buy it again. The third time, the owner said, look, I'm tired of this. I will only sell to you. Do you want it?
We got to take a break right there, Gino. We're going to come back and finish this story up. It was too good to let it go away. We'll be right back with Gino Henry and the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Gino Henry. And as we went to break, we had to cut into a very good story. So we've got to take this story back, Gino, do it again, because it was just too good a story to let fly by. We were talking about the deal, the first deal that you found once you joined up as a challenge member and you're out looking at this deal. Take the story back to the beginning again. How did this whole thing start about looking at this particular deal? I don't want to mess this story up.
Okay, so I wanted to get started. So Michonne Childers was with Lifestyles Realty. So I basically told her what I was looking for, because David told me, he was like, why don't you just get a duplex, triplex, or fourplex, live on one side, rent out the other, and you can do that for an FHA loan for 3.5% down. So it would be a lot less out of pocket.
So what he's doing is he's taking advantage of a really strange aspect here called owner financing or owner occupancy financing. So when you go as an FHA loan, you can get a 3% down payment as opposed to a 10 or 20% down an Fannie Mae type loan if you live in the property. So if you're buying it for yourself as a personal residence, well, you can buy a duplex or even as high as a fourplex as long as you're willing to live in one unit for at least a year, and then it would be considered a personal residence, and you get to buy it for only 3% down, which is unbelievable. So go ahead with your story now that everybody understands what you're talking about.
Okay. And so I went through that deal, and like I was saying before, the deal, two other individuals were going to buy it. The deal fell through twice. I was the third person, and Michonne called me back, and she was like, do you want? And I was like, yes, because the seller said he would only sell it to you. And so as we got going into the deal, we found out that the place needed a roof.
Why would the seller only sell it to you? I've got to hear this part of the story. You're leaving good tidbits out here.
Because he got tired of people just pulling his chain. He, you know, they kept, you know, they were interested in the property. Then something would happen, they would back out. And then here comes another guy. He's interested. Oh yeah, I'm going to buy it. Then they backed out. So he was just tired of it, and he knew I really wanted the property. That's why he said, "Look, I will only sell to you. That's it."
Okay.
And he's like, "Do you want it?" So after that happened, we determined that the property needed a roof, and so I was like, "Mashawn, do you think he'll take anything off her because it needs a roof?" She's like, "Well, let me check." And so the guy comes back. He's like, "Yeah." He said, "I'll knock $10,000 off the price of it, and by the way, I'll put your brand new roof on there." I was like, "Oh, wow!" And so, my dumb self, Dale, I'm sitting up here. I'm like, "Mashawn, is this a good deal?" She was like, "Sign the paper." It was just like that. Because I didn't know, you know, it was my first deal. So I, you know, we went through it and got it. And that's how that started. And one of the great things about it, I actually bought the property for $750 out of pocket.
Out of pocket. Wow.
Yes.
What was the total sales price? What did you, the price of the property?
The price we purchased it at first they wanted $255, you knocked $10 off, so we purchased it $245.
And this was the duplex?
Yes. Right.
Okay.
And so the reason I got it for $750 out of pocket, since it was my first deal, and like I said, I was going to live on one side and rent out the other, there's in Texas, they have something called the Texas State Affordable Housing Corporation. And what they do, since it's your first deal, you're going to live in it for, I think the minimum is 3 years. They will pay for your closing costs and down payment. And so
Whoa.
All I had to do was pay for the inspection and appraisal, and that's how I got it for $750.
Is that real?
That is real.
Oh, my gosh. That's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that. I've been doing this for 35 years. I've never run into that opportunity. So that was great, $750. So there you are. You've been beating yourself up now for 10 years going, "I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it." And boom, you join the challenge, someone walks you through it, and you do it. That's an unbelievable story.
Right.
Who brought up, just out of curiosity, who brought up the thing about the affordable housing, Texas affordable housing program?
Actually, Mashawn did, Lifestyles Realty. I knew nothing about that. I didn't know anything about it.
Wow.
So she brought that up.
Because
I remember asking her, I was like, "Well, what else do I have to put down?" I didn't have a whole lot of money. But she, I was like, "What else do I have to put down?" She was like, "That's it. You're done." And I was just in awe. I couldn't believe it.
So where were you living at the time? Because obviously you had to move into this thing, right?
Actually, I lived at home with my mom at the time. Now, you know, she had actually moved out, and I took over her house. So I'm living there pretty much rent-free because her house was paid for way back in the 80s. So I just took the money that I would have had to pay on a mortgage and put it toward that and stuff like that, you know, as far as like fixing the thing up, stuff like that. That's what I did. I just worked a little bit at a time, fix this, fix that, and there you go. That's how I did it.
So did you rent out one of the units or both of the units?
Okay. So actually rented out one and lived in one for a while. And then after a year, moved the other lady out and renovated the property. And so the rent there was like, it was like $825 per side, if I remember correctly. So $825. So what I did, it took me a little while to renovate it. I just had to get a chuck and a truck guy to do it. And we renovated the property and took the rents up from $825 to $1,590 per side. And rented both sides out. It rented like 2 days, both sides. and I was pocketing like, I think it's about $1,100 cash flow a month.
Unbelievable. So how long did you hold on to that? Because it says here in the resume that you sold that property.
Mm-hmm. I held it for 3 years because the terms of that deal with the Texas State Affordable Housing Corporation, you had to hold the property for 3 years. So after that third year, when that was up, they sent me a letter, hey, your obligations, you're free to go, blah, blah, blah. I put it up. I contacted Danny Gentry with Lifestyle. He's also Lifestyles Realty. And Danny went and put a sign in the yard. It sold the same day.
Wow, the price was too low. What did you sell it for?
What did we sell that thing for? I think we sold it at, if I remember, $315, I think.
Wow.
I think it was about $315. It sold in a day. It was a neighbor next door, and I think he paid all cash for it, something like that.
So you made $70,000 on your first deal. That's not a bad start, huh?
Not bad at all.
Not mentioned. I didn't even put in any cash flow or anything there. That's just the capital gains on the deal. So that's pretty good. So where was your mindset now that all this happened, and how did it change through this process? What was going through your mind?
Well, I got over my disbelief. And I was like, hey, I can actually do this. And so I kept coming to more and more Lifestyle meetings, meeting different people, and they were buying this property, that property, this property. And I knew at that point I could do this. I knew I could do it. And so I got over that fear. And so once I got over that fear and we sold that property, another property popped up on an email blast in San Antonio. And I purchased that one.
All right. So let's go into that one a little bit. Tell us about how you found out about this property. We'll start there.
Okay. There's Lifestyles Realty once again. Danny Gentry sent out an email blast, and I saw it, and I responded to him about it, and he sent me the information. And he was like, did you have a chance to look at it? And I'm like, yes, I think I want to go through it. And that's how I got started. It's a nice little property in San Antonio, and I looked at it, and he sent me the information. I was like, Dan, send me the information. So I looked at it, and he's like, are you interested? I was like, I am interested. So he sent it to me, and we wound up getting it. So the purchase price was $115,000, and I think the repairs were about $60,000 on it. And so the estimated sales price was $240,000, and a cash out of pocket outlay was about $14,000. Right.
So
in there.
The after repaired value, after you buy it for $115,000, put $60,000 in it, you're in it for $175,000 at that point. At that point, the after repaired value appraisal was $240,000, right?
Correct.
Okay. How much out of pocket did you have to come up with this? Used hard money lending, I assume.
I did use hard money, and I came out about $14,000 out of pocket, but there was a couple other things. There was this big concrete thing in the back that was all messed up, so I actually talked to David Fisher about it, and, you know, just like, you know, you say, you know, Dale, you know, hey, you know, why go through and try to bust that out, because I was going to try to do it myself. One of my general contractor, he's like, hey, Gino, you know what? That back there, we'll take care of that for you for $1,000. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So I paid him $1,000. He took care of it. And then I spent another $2,000 we just replaced it with a new lawn. We put dirt back there and put grass back there and a walkway. And it came out absolutely perfect. You should see it. You know, you couldn't even tell anything that happened back there.
Uh-huh.
So and so that's what happened. So, and my GC down there, I used another contractor off of, you know, Lifestyles off the vendor list, Moore and Construction down in San Antonio, and he basically just took care of everything. And that's what I really liked about it, because when I got it, he already knew what was going to happen. So I went through Carrie with Capital Concepts. Everything was just great cut and dry. He took it, renovated the thing. It took about 4 months to renovate it, but they had to pretty much gut it out. They had to have rewiring done and pretty much everything. But after it was all completed, I went down there to basically get the keys from him. I put that little green sign in the front yard that David always talks about. When I was nailing the sign in the front yard, lady drives by, "Sir, is that for rent?" I'm like, "Well, yes, it is." So it was really funny. And so she's like, "Well, I want my sister to have it, blah, blah, blah." And so she gets the information. She drives off. After this, the lady next door comes out, and she was like, "Uh-uh. I want this property for my daughter. I want her to live right here next to me." And she took my sign. I want my sign back. So she took my sign. And so she's there right now.
Oh, my gosh. You know, it's funny because that's the way my houses used to rent, too. When it's the best product, best price, you've got this beautiful property out there. And everybody wants it. There's no doubt. It's amazing. So what did you rent it for? And how much cash flow did you get?
It rented for about $1,500 a month. The cash flow is about, I think it's about $190 a month, $180 around in there. But the equity capture was, I think, let me see what I think equity capture was $54,000 in that.
Okay.
So what I've got now, we ran a quest on it. So the return on equity capture was 386%. Cash on cash return, 16.6%.
That's incredible. When did this last one happen?
So it happened around, I bought that thing closed on October the 15th with hard money, and I did the refinance this past March, if I remember correctly. Yeah, that's where we refinanced it in March, and the lady moved in around March, around that time, yes.
So we only have a little bit of time left, and there's two questions I want to get to you. So I'm going to skip right to these questions. Number one is, do you feel differently about yourself? You now have money. You now have asset. You now have knowledge and experience. How do you feel about yourself now compared to when you started?
I feel like a freight train right now. I feel like I know I can do this. With the education that I've received from Lifestyles and you guys, and Dale, you've been so helpful. You're like a father to me. I feel like, basically, if you get in my way, I'm going to run over you. This train will not stop. I'm going to keep going. I'm already looking at another property in San Antonio. And I promise you, I am not going to stop.
Now, I've got to get this in. The show's almost over. I got to get this in. In your bio here, you've come up with something. I don't know where you came. I've never heard this one from you before, but you turned your name into an acronym? Henry? What an acronym? Oh, here it is. I'm Henry. High earner, not rich yet.
Oh, yes. Now I remember that. Yes, I am a high earner, not rich yet. That's what Henry stands for. I forgot about that. Yes.
Yeah. All right, sir. Thanks for coming on and sharing your story. Really appreciate it. Great to hear that you're finally on your feet and doing well. I hope to see you get 3 or 4 more really quick. The rest of you out there, remember this. Anybody can do this if you really want to do it. And it's not just the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Dell's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.